Great. If you want to go to that event at the Ice House, that it's spring harvest, not sprint harvest, as it said on the screen there. But if you're going to get your tickets in advance. Well, the one event, it was only 3 weeks ago. Seems like ages ago, doesn't it? How many of you enjoyed it? You were there? Felt blessed by it? Yeah, great, brilliant. It was very interesting. Various themes come across, and none of the speakers were given any particular theme. I mean, the event was taglined Together, but other than that, speakers came with their own stuff. So there were various bits of theme. But one theme that was almost a little bit incidental to start with that I felt then developed into a theme was quite an interesting one. It was the theme of time. Time. And if you were there, you may have noticed, if you were in the big top, a couple of the speakers got a little twitchy with regard to time. And at one event, you may or may not know, that on the stage, everything is sort of timed quite closely because we try to run the main services in sync with the children's events so parents can go and get their children, having experienced the majority or all of the main service in the big top. So on the platform, on the stage area where the speaker's speaking, just in front of them, there's a little computer monitor on the floor. And on this computer monitor is the time that they've got left to speak. Yeah. We've not started doing it here yet. Yes. Although there is a clock to my right. So this clock, and they're given, should I tell you how long they're given? You don't really want to know, do you? They're given 50 minutes to speak, and then they've got time for sort of like ministry and praying for people added on. That. So this counter starts at 50 minutes and starts going down. Well, the first two main services in the big top, this jolly computer monitor went to sleep partway. It went into standby mode. And so the two first speakers both went, the clock stopped, the clock stopped. Can somebody sort the clock out? Because they were just so conscious that they wanted to fit in with the timings that they'd been asked to work with. So that was interesting. That was just sort of seemed a little bit incidental at the start. And then Helen Azar was speaking at one of the mornings. I think it was probably the Monday morning. And she started talking about the time and the season that we're in. And God wanting to get our attention, that there was something changing. There was something in our nation changing. And to get ready and to be aware. And then on the Monday evening, I think it was the Monday evening, the Indian evangelist Rambabu came. And of course, if you've ever been to India or Pakistan or any of those nations, you know time is a little bit fluid. So for starters, he pitched up 20 minutes late for the meeting. But then when he got on stage, he sees this jolly timer clicking down 50 minutes. And he's not used to that. Is he used to that? No. So he's looking at it and he started twitching. And then he says, in the name of Jesus, stop the clock. And one of the technicians, bless him, stopped the clock, reset it. And he was absolutely delighted and got the technician out and blessed him. But then so this is all very interesting stuff. But then, if you were in that meeting, you'll remember, partway through his preach, he said, God wants to get some people's attention in this tent, this big top tent. And he said, if you've got to put your hand up that you have your watch on. So there's loads of people putting their hand up. And he said, God is going to stop some watches. He's going to stop time for some people in this place. I thought, whoa. So, right, everybody, look at your watch. What was, just a little side, what was really funny, I was sat next to one of the directors of ground level. He's had his hand up like this, and he looks. He didn't even have a watch on. I shall not tell you who it was. It was just so funny. So, but anyway, I'm looking at my watch and thinking, no, mine hasn't stopped. Are you going to stop? Are you going to stop? Didn't stop. But I think there was four people came out to the front, because he said, if your watch has stopped, come out to the front now. And he called these four people out. And I know definitely one of them, who's a GP, and it's been verified that his watch stopped and restarted. I know, Tony, is he here? You said something happening with your watch at the back, because you were on duty at the back of the tent. And then After a few moments, he said, watches are going to start again. They're going to restart. And this guy's, this GP, actually didn't start for about 10 or 15 minutes, but then it started all of its own volition, and it was a posh watch. It wasn't, you know, a knockoff from somewhere. So there's this whole theme of time and God wanting to get our attention about the time and the season that we're in. I was thinking about that and been thinking about it since we came home over the past 3 weeks. And obviously in the last few weeks here, we've been talking about restoration. And linking the two things together for a moment, my mind was drawn to Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. Where in Joel, there are three alarms that go off. Don't know how many of you need an alarm in the morning. Yeah, there's a few of you. Yeah, you are honest. That's great. Well, there are three alarms, I think it is, in Joel. But in Joel chapter 2, and verse 1, it says, sound the alarm. Wake up. You know, it's a new season. Something's happening. Sound the alarm. And as you go through Joel chapter 2, there's a great verse in there where God speaks about a whole restoring of his people. I will restore to you, he says, verse 25 of Joel 2, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Crawling locusts, things that creep up on you. Do you ever find that things creep up on you? And you just start to get a bit bogged down and you don't, it's over a period of time, you suddenly realize, actually, yeah, something's sort of crept up. It's consuming locusts, things that just take up your time and energy, whether it's physical or emotional energy. And then the chewing locusts. You ever been with somebody having a meal and somebody just, they just chew a lot? Oh, yeah, there's quite a few of you. And you think, I wish you'd get on and swallow it. It just seems to go on and on. And you know, and maybe you just, it's like the locusts have come in and they've just bogged you down. And you know, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives. Here, God says, these locusts, actually, I allowed this to happen. But he says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Some things God allows to happen. And I think when we recognize that, when we find ourselves in that place where we're being consumed, where things are just chewing away at us, and you think, what is going on with my life? Is it like that? Do you ever get a point like that where you just know the only place to go is to God? You know, you try everything, but actually, you come to a point where the only place to go is to God. And he says, when you do that, in that desperate state, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Another interesting example of that is King Hezekiah. This is a fascinating story in the Old Testament. Who found himself in a desperate state, called out to God, and God reset the clock of his life. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. There's all sorts of alarms going off this morning, or is it me? This is a bing, bing, bong, bing. Verse 1. It says, in those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. Hezekiah 38. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die, you will not recover. Anybody want a prophetic word this morning? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember me, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord says. I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. So sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. Wow. God interfering with time. In a very clear demonstration for people to see. But reset the clock of Hezekiah's life and gave him another 15 years. I don't know if there's anybody here today where you just feel, actually, I could do with my clock resetting. There's some stuff been going on in my life. Well, hold on to your seats. Because Liz said something along these lines. You know, you might think you've missed your opportunity. And it may be for all sorts of reasons. Maybe some decisions that you've made historically that perhaps looking back weren't necessarily the wisest. But I believe that somebody needs to hear this morning that God wants to reset the clock to get you heading for that destiny he has for you. It is not too late to engage with the will of God for your life. In the Old Testament, over and over again, through the Old Testament writers, the prophets particularly, God appeals to his people to return to him and align themselves with his purposes for their lives. We were in Isaiah a moment ago. If you read Isaiah 1, God speaks again and he says, "Come, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land." How many of you think that sounds like a good place to be? "But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." I was thinking about Samson that Liz mentioned a few moments ago. You know, this tragic picture of foolishness in his life where the mandate that he had over his life seemed lost. Finds himself in prison, finds himself now blind. But yet God, in his mercy and his grace, enables Samson, you read it in Judges 16, to come and do more in his last moments, as Liz said, than he'd done all through his life, according to the mandate that was over him. It is not too late for any one of us in this room, even if we feel we may have missed it. New Testament, parable of the prodigal son, goes off track, but the father welcomes him back with arms wide open. Joe was speaking the other week about Peter, the guy who seemed to have let God down, let Jesus down in his denial of knowing him. But thankfully, that wasn't the end. And God restored him. And the mandate on Peter's life that Jesus had already given him in Matthew 16, you know, to build my church, in John 21, to feed my sheep, to look after my lambs, those things were restored to him. There's an amazing verse, well, at least I find it amazing, in Romans 11. The Apostle Paul writes this in verse 29. He says, "God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn." Wow. You know, if naturally speaking, if I'd given somebody something and said, "Here, go and use that." Think of an example. Okay, I haven't got my keys, but if I said to Pete, "Go and use the car, my car, anytime you like." Done that before. But if after a while it was just sat on the roadside, it was never being used, how would I respond to that? Or if he totally neglected it, how would I respond to that? You know, I think sometimes God has blessed us with things and put mandates on our lives, and maybe they've got parked up. Maybe they've been a bit neglected. Thank God he's not like me. Thank God he says, actually, it's still there. The keys are still available to you. You can still go on with this. You can still do what I've called you to do. God's love is amazing. His grace is amazing. Wherever you are at, if you desire to be back on track with God's will for your life, today can be a day of resetting the clock. I think there's just a number of things we need to do. I think we need to just come to God with sincerity, acknowledge, you know, where things have gone wrong probably. Let's go right into the presence of God, the writer of Hebrews says, with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You know, we can talk to one another, we can get each other to pray for us, and we can say, oh, would you pray about this? And sometimes, you know, I wonder, how sincere are we? Do we really want to be back on track with God? And I think there is a challenge on this whole thing of time. And Helen Azar really picked it up well. A day of opportunity. There's moments in time, aren't there, that we need to grasp with both hands when they come across us and across our path. I got a little video clip. Some of you will have seen it. It was floating around on Facebook around the time just after the One event, actually. Sarah, could you just put that on? Just kill the lights, Andy, for us, thanks. T.D. Jakes speaking at Hillsong Conference. What are you going to do with the time you have left? What am I going to do with the time I have left? I find it absolutely credible that I am a grandfather. How did that happen? Don't go into the biology, but how, just in terms of time and years, did that happen? Wow. Hebrews 3, the writer says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Respond to him. You know, we sang a song earlier, and one of the lines was, I give my life to follow. I surrender. Great song. Many of us sing it with passion. But boy, do we really mean it? I give myself to follow. So I would say don't put it off. Come with sincerity. If we need to, just ask God's forgiveness. Repent, surrender before him. Romans 12, again, Paul writes, verse 1, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Are you up for that? Up for that? And maybe there's some people in here too that need to hear the words of Paul when he wrote to the church at Philippi. And he said, I focus on this one thing, Philippians 3, forgetting the past. Anybody just need to underline that in their Bible? Forgetting the past. Looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Just turn to somebody and nudge them and say, forget the past. Forget the past. Huh? You know, we've all had our disappointments. We've all had our failures. But don't let disappointment and failure stop you entering your God-given future. And maybe there's people here who just need to forgive somebody. Colossians 3, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive, this is it, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Lord help us, by your Spirit. To forgive is a choice, isn't it? Are we going to do it? Are we going to forgive? The devil is out to cause discord in the church. To create pockets of unforgiveness. To knock us off course. And if you've had a spat with someone, put it right. And don't wait for them to come to you. Let's get it dealt with. And the other thing, and I think guys are particularly susceptible to this. You know, if you want to get back on track, don't isolate yourselves. Ladies tend to gather a bit more, I think, in general. It's probably a bit of a generalization. They tend to talk to each other a lot more than guys. But guys do tend to isolate themselves a bit when things aren't going so well. Listen to what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 4. Two are better than one, because they've got a good return for their labor. And if one falls, one can help them up, one helping the other. But pity anyone who falls, there's no one to help them up. Two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And then it says, a strand of three cords is not quickly broken. I wonder if the musicians will come back. You know, if you look back at your life and think, maybe things haven't quite worked out how I hoped, dreamed, or imagined. Maybe through circumstances that seemingly have not of your making, or it could be based on decisions that you've made in the past. But today you're here and say, Lord, I really want to look forward and not look back. And I want to get in place again with the sense of that destiny of God over my life, that I'm walking in his purposes right here, right now. And I believe if we are sincere about that, God says, yeah, I want to reset the clock today. I want to reset the clock. I do believe that there are people here that God says, I want to restore some years that the locusts seem to have eaten. Restore some years. I believe it's time to hear the alarm. It's time to call on God and recognize it's not too late. It's time to see the clock reset. And I want to pray. And guys, you just play as you just sense right. I'm not going to call people out for prayer today. But I want to pray for people across this room who might just sense that something that's been shared either from me or what you've heard earlier is actually for you today. Today. This is the now moment. I want to pray that as you come to God with sincerity of heart, that he will reset the clock of your life and restore some things that perhaps seemingly were forgotten, lost, or laid to one side. And God will breathe on them again by his Spirit. Now, if you'd like me to pray for you, I'm not going to get you to do anything else but put up your hand right now. If that's you. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. And if that's you, just put your hand up. Why don't you just put your hands out in front of you to receive from God today and just come in sincerity to him. Yeah, Father. Father, I thank you that you see our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you know our thoughts. You know, the things that we've been mulling over as we've been in this room this morning, the things that we've reflected on in the past, the things that perhaps have gone wrong, the things that have not worked out as we hoped, dreamed or imagined, the things that seem to have been creeping up on us, consuming us, overtaking us. But Lord, today, we do believe in the Spirit that there's something happening in our generation. And we do not want to miss it. We want to walk in it. Because we believe it's of you. We believe there's a call on your church for this nation today. Lord, I pray for each one here, and particularly those who raise their hands and have their arms stretched out in front of them right now, that God, as they come with sincerity of heart, where perhaps in some cases they may be putting things right with you, maybe calling out to you for help and mercy, Lord, would you come by your Spirit and just make yourself so real to individuals across this room, right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. God, come. God, come. God, come. God, come. God, come. God, come. And if you're here this morning and you say, I just sense God on my life, I sense the purposes of God in my life, I sense I'm doing what God's called me to do, would you just pray right now for people around the room who put their hands up, that there would be an increasing sense across the breadth of the church that actually this is what I'm called to. This is what I'm meant to be doing. This is who I am in God. That sense of well-being, that sense of the hand of favor on life after life after life after life across this room. I pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.